It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Today we are joined on the show by Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez, who is here to give an update on crime trends and law enforcement initiatives. Sheriff Vasquez, thanks for coming back in.
Always a pleasure, BJ. Thank you for having me.
So take us back a little bit. It's been about a year and a half since you were sworn in as Tuolumne County Sheriff. What would you say were some of the highlights and main things that you're proud of implementing and some of the initiatives that you put forward?
Wow, yeah, I can't believe it has been. It's been a year and 8 months, I believe. You're absolutely right. And it has gone by so incredibly fast. I think I have to start out with what I'm most proud of. And one is our community and the support that they show us every day. Very talented command staff and all of our support staff, deputy sheriffs. I mean, they are bought into a shared vision that we have. And it just feels... It feels that there's an ultimate level of clarity with where we're going and how we're going to protect this county, and I'm so grateful for that. There's been a lot of moving parts. It took office in March, coming right into a very dynamic budget, or what had appeared to be a dynamic budget cycle. And I think the last time, around that time when we were here and we were talking, you were asking me what were my main concerns about budget, and that was just, I think, the level of transparency is what was being offered. My first and foremost goal was to hand the reins of accountability back to the people of this community to make sure that they know exactly what was happening with their sheriff's office budget. And I think we accomplished that. So first and foremost, being able to provide the people of this county with the services that they are, one, entitled to, but not only that, constitutionally entrusted.
And the sheriff's office is no longer part of the general plan, correct? Can you kind of explain that?
That is correct. I'm very proud of that and happy to be working with our legislative board to get that done. I think what that does is it creates an opportunity to eliminate the guesswork of what's happening with the people's dollars and the types of dollars, because not every dollar that's in the general fund is discretionary. Some of it's restricted discretionary. For an example, we're very grateful for our tribal partners, Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians. They contribute significantly to services, and that essentially goes into the general fund and is allocated to the sheriff's office, which used to be in the general fund. Now, being removed out of that, the people can see exactly where that money's going, whether it's a local dollar, whether it's a $172, which is out of state taxes, rural sheriff type of money that comes into our budget as well. Those are purposefully sent to the sheriffs and local jurisdictions to provide services. We'll be able to see exactly where those dollars are going with this new way of budgeting, and I think it's just very transparent. It's very open, clear to the people.
You know, getting into several topics on today's show, I remember some of the early shows that we had on when you just became sheriff of Tuolumne County. The dispatch center was a big concern. So what is kind of the current status of the dispatch center and its future now moving forward?
Yeah, that was quite the project, and it still is. We are seeing a lot of progress with that. I believe the last date that we were given was probably go live time between January and February, which there could be a little wiggle room with that. There's a lot of logistics and moving parts. I think this is a perfect opportunity to express the gratitude for the whole team that's been involved with that. Captain Jared Pippen of my staff has been taking over that project as of earlier this year. Our information technology, Mark Beckley, our county administrator, Roger Root. I know I'm missing Steve Walidko from facilities, just everybody involved, to our fire and medic partners that obviously had to make adjustments to for us to utilize that square footage over at Stryker Court. It really was a game changer for the people and emergency services and how we receive 911 and all of the safety infrastructure of this county. We're coming along, and we've managed to leverage a lot of state Cal OES money. They have been a great partner with us, and so we're moving right along. We expect to be fully operational somewhere January, February timeframe. Originally, the old PSAP or the old dispatch center, you know, there was a history of that. Commonly, you would have seen me speaking in the public at the podium regarding it catching fire, repairs not being made up to standards, and making sure that we were bringing that to light. So people, our legislative board and stakeholders had a thorough understanding of what was happening, because I think in the past there was a different narrative that was put out to the public at just how bad our 911 infrastructure was. And so nonetheless, that's behind us and we're steaming forward. Mandy Hart, my communications administrative manager, she's been great at bridging some of the gaps operationally to get us in there. And so we're close. Just very grateful, and we have good things happening for the people. Sustainable 911 infrastructure.
So moving to Stryker Court, is that seen as the permanent solution, or are there still future locations potentially?
You know, I think that originally we were trying to move into Dambacker, and we saw that there was a lot of strings attached to that because of the bonds that that own that space and the Title 15 provisions associated with justice-involved people as to how much we can really encroach on that square footage. During the process of attempting to gain permission, we ran into some budget issues associated with that project, some things that I thought were lacking transparency in what made its way to the people. We corrected that appropriately and through the legal process of making sure that we could fund the project, because that was a major barrier for the state. They didn't want to give approval unless they knew we could afford it, which makes complete sense to me. And so working out our own internal things with county government locally at that time, we were able to get those issues squared away. But the timing in which it would have been to gain approval to move into the state, plus the price tag that would have came with it, we're talking millions upon millions of dollars. And so it didn't seem right to not leverage a more viable option that we had already, a building owned by the people of this county, outfitted for dispatch services. And so we made the decision to pivot with our stakeholders, and we provided a plan B, which seemed to be a better plan than plan A, given when all the strings were shown.
Got it. The Dambacker Detention Center, that was the big project of previous years. How is that facility working out for you as sheriff?
Boy, that's a good question, BJ. You know, I think that it's the facility is better than the facility we were in prior. I'm very grateful that we have a jail that's up to standards, so that way it's better quality of life, not only just for the people who have to work there every day. And I've heard this time and time again, you know, you might have people that are justice involved or their houses inmates, but the people who work there are also in that facility as well. And we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to provide the best quality of life for our people that are working there, and making sure that we're meeting the requirements of the state for people that are housed there. And so I'm grateful for that facility. It does pose some staffing challenges, but I believe that these are leadership challenges that we can look at and figure out how we can do things differently. I like a good puzzle, and so it serves us well. It serves the people well. But there is some areas that I think that we could be doing things a little bit differently to make sure that we're being as effective as possible and repurposing funds appropriately. So I think we might see some strategic some strategic plans that will be brought to the governing board shortly about what staffing looks like and other things that we can do with the facility, and weaving that fabric a little bit tighter between custody and patrol to make sure we're doing everything that we can and making sure that we're accountable to the people's dollar. So in a nutshell, the jail's great. We're grateful to have a good facility, but we can always be better.
When inmates go into the Dambacker Detention Center, what type of programs are there to kind of rehabilitate them so that when they go out, they hopefully don't reoffend?
Yeah, so recidivism is a big conversation right now, and everything that we can do to prevent that. So I will tell you, one of the programs that I'm partial to that I'm most proud of is the Work Crew. And I have to highlight Deputy Justin Teague and Deputy Ryan Davenport for their efforts. Chris Hurtado, my jail commander, they do a fantastic job with trying to instill the work ethic and leadership skills that a person would need, and also the professional skills that people are willing to pay for when they're outside of custody. And we're seeing them push forward in a big way. I'm very proud of the Work Crew. I'm so glad that we have the Work Crew started back up. The folks who are justice involved or the inmates, they are participating, and we're seeing good numbers of volunteers. And then also education services. We encourage education for folks that are entrusted to our care. So whether that's a high school diploma, GED, college courses that are available. And a lot of these programs are, obviously, we make them available, but they have to be available for everyone. And that's a statement mandate. And so we highly encourage all of those substance abuse counseling, things that, increase coping skills and reduce, the impulses that, drive them or sometimes landed them in custody. And so all of those programs that we make available, and we have the new program that's coming up that we just we're leveraging some state money. It's based on medical and the type of medical coverage that inmates have, and us being able to enroll them effectively in a program so that way that they have those benefits that follow them on the way out. So there are question marks as to what medical looks like for them. So there's a lot of state mandates that are coming down. We do have some challenges right now. There's an agency that's going around the state and kind of evaluating, not an agency, but they're a non-government agency, and they're making sure they're holding jails accountable. There's been some lawsuits, and so right now we're taking the lessons learned from other jails that have already had that, and I believe that's the Disability Rights of California, which we welcome any feedback. If there's something that we need to be doing differently or better, we look forward to changing the way we do things in a manner that makes sense for Tuolumne County and that's effective and reasonable for how we do business. And so the jail is an interesting conversation when it comes to services and not only population, but we're doing a great job. And I feel like the team is we're holding our own, that's for sure.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking about crime trends and law enforcement initiatives. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking law enforcement with Tuolumne County's top law enforcement officer, Sheriff David Vasquez, on this weekend show. Sheriff Vasquez, one thing we haven't gotten into yet is drugs. What are you noticing right now when it comes to drug trends and the biggest concerns you have as sheriff?
Well, you know, I think the biggest concerns first came when I first took office and we were seeing record high numbers. And you know, the partnership I have with our health officer, Dr. Kim Freeman, is fantastic. And I'll never forget the first conversation where she was saying, we have people that are overdosing at record numbers that we've never seen before. And it wasn't just specific to Tuolumne County. This is something that has touched all the lives of everybody in the state of California. And so we knew right away that there was something that needed to be done. And in my mind, there was no other option but to bring back the Tuolumne Narcotics Team. And you talk about an increase of accountability for criminals who are making a business model out of destroying lives and selling poisonous drugs and toxic drugs in this community that were killing people at record numbers. I want to say last year, health officer reported that we had confirmed deaths, specifically about 18 specifically related to fentanyl. And this year, we have seen a significant decrease in that number. I believe we were somewhere between, I think we were at 6 the last month, and we were waiting on to hear about 2. And so you go from 18 to somewhere between 6 and 8, depending on toxicology. That's a huge reduction in there. We're seeing the cost of narcotics being sold in our county increase, which means there's more risk. It's hard. It's more difficult for these drug dealers to move those products in Tuolumne County. We're also hearing information that folks don't want to come past the county line in certain areas, or they're not willing to travel as freely as and openly as they were. And so I think comparing last year to this year, you know, we were able to gather enough consequential knowledge to see what happens when these measures go unchecked. And if there's one thing that we are always aiming for, we're aiming for true prevention, and that is making sure that our young people are educated to stay away from drugs, making sure that we have a meaningful impact in those relationships that are the key to fostering true prevention. But for those people that mean to do harm to the people of our community, we do have an increased level of accountability, and that is the narcotics team.
I know, too, you have an anonymous tip line. Are there ways that are good for the community to help out to track down and help you what you're doing as sheriff?
Absolutely. If there's people out there that have information, even if they don't want to leave their name, that's fine. If you don't have the TNT tip line, you can always call into our generic admin line. You don't have to leave your name. You can say, I just want to talk to somebody in TNT. connect me to TNT. That's all you have to do. And those dispatchers, even our records clerks and our support staff and everybody in our office knows how to transfer people to the very identity sensitive line for the Tuolumne Narcotics Team, and they're a great group of working professionals. They know exactly what they're doing and how to keep things anonymous and keep information, especially that's sensitive, from getting out.
What can you tell us about your school resource officers? I know they're pretty active as well.
I am so proud of our school resource officer program. And like we said before, BJ, this has been one of my proudest moments as sheriff, is being able to provide these services and advocate for the funds to ensure that there is sustainability in these services that the people deserve and that they constitutionally have a right to. School resource officers, they're great. I mean, we've seen them all over social media, and they are a presence on all of the campuses, engaging with the kids, giving periods of instructions, assisting a school administration with, you know, higher profile issues that are taking place on our school campuses. You know, and I think that this is the beginning of what true prevention looks like, is having those conversations with kids, letting all these I saw a kid the other day, and he asked me, he said in the little typical kindergarten voice, "Do you know Deputy Tyler?" And I'm like, "Of course I do." And he's talking about, you know, Tyler Mattishock, or they'll ask about Kennedy Brockett, or they'll ask about Antonio Schaus, or who's the school cop with the dog. You know, they always the little voices, you know. But the fact that they remember, and the fact that the first time that they see these deputy sheriffs will be in a positive engagement, and that they, if they have questions, they can approach. We want kids to know that they run to us for help, not away from us, because they're afraid. And so for the parents out there, if you ever bring your kid up to a deputy in uniform and say, "Oh, you better behave or he's going to take you to jail," don't be surprised if we turn your kid away with a sticker and say, "Nonsense. You come to us whenever you need help. That's what we're for."
Building those relationships.
That's
at a young
right.
age.
That's right.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, too, was during the first week of September, life just completely changed for Tuolumne County with the TCU September Lightning Complex fire. Mm. I know your department was very active. What was kind of your takeaways and big observations from that event?
Yeah, it was September 2nd. I remember exactly. Yeah, that was, I think my biggest takeaway and the first word that comes to mind is dynamic. And that there was that event unfolded in a manner that was dynamic for the people both there and all of the first responders associated with that. You know, I have a lot of professional colleagues and personal relationships of folks that were involved with that incident. And there's there's a lot of feelings. And I think that when you look at it, there's people that suffered a lot of loss associated with that incident. But I will say this, and this is the point that I always come back to. There was no loss of life. And for the first 72 hours, you talk about thinking about when we first set out and boots on the ground to evacuate folks out of their homes and the surrounding areas. I've said it once and I said it before, BJ, we will always take into consideration the terrain, the amount of population and resources available, and we will move early when needed. I will always give people an opportunity to get out of these homes as much as the environment allows us to. And, you know, it brings me into another point, is that, you know, there was some feedback that we caught from the public that said, "Why didn't you push out, you know, the emergency Everbridge sooner than you did?" You know, that's a very strategic question and decision that comes out of my office. We often find that if we send an Everbridge message out too early, it brings more people to the area. And because people don't always heed the fact that it's time to leave, and they think that that Everbridge warning is a time for me to go back to my house to get things, especially if we have folks that are out of the area. And so in order to create the highest likelihood to be successful in preserving life, we shut those areas down and we put boots on the ground first. And a little after the afternoon hour, I believe Deputy Tyler Mattishock was one of the first individuals, one of our school resource officers down there, to make contact with the Chinese Camp School. Can't say enough positive things about the folks that run that school and that program. They were highly organized and prepared to protect those children, and it went very, very smoothly. And for the folks of Chinese Camp, to see how they all come together, well, there's been a handful of fundraisers to help rebuild. But nonetheless, there was a lot of evacuations that took place. I'm very proud of the deputy sheriffs that put boots on the ground to knock on every door, check every shed, and make those notifications. And then ultimately, when we did put out our Everbridge warnings, we might have went a little above and beyond because we saw the first warning went out, and we weren't happy with the results of what we were getting back as far as confirmed notifications. So we went a little bit broader and casted a little bit broader net, and that's okay. I think we got a couple of phone calls that said, hey, you might want to rein that in. But at the end of the day, no loss of life and no injuries. And that's my goal, BJ, for the people in Jamestown as well. We sent deputies out and just for those warnings saying, just be ready. You know, we got resources here. We're watching it, and the fire crews are taking care of business and doing their thing. But we wanted people to not feel like they were left twisting in the wind, and that was our primary goal.
Need to take one more break. I'm BJ Hansen, your host on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in the studio by Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez, getting us up to speed on law enforcement and crime trends in Tuolumne County. And if you missed any of this show or past shows, we invite you to check them out in the media section of mymotherlode.com. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment of this week's show is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend show, talking about several law enforcement-related topics. Sheriff Vasquez, earlier you talked a little bit about bringing back the TNT team and how that was important to you as sheriff. You know, looking back, now that the TNT team is in force, have there been some kind of high-profile incidents that really stand out in your mind?
Like I said, their level of dedication is second to none. I'm so proud of those of that team and everybody that came together to make it happen. You know, there's been seizures of 2 pounds worth of fentanyl counterfeit pills. Just the other day, they pulled a pound of methamphetamine out of a drug house in Jamestown, and these are cyclic type of cases, and we see, you know, ranges of all different types of narcotics investigations, but these are significant weights and significant seizures for a community our size. And again, this team is hungry to serve the people, and I'm just proud of that. But a pound of methamphetamine out of a community our size, 2 pounds of fentanyl pills. There's a statistic out there that one in every 25 or 50 of those pills contains a lethal dose, regardless of what your tolerance is. And so that's scary when you're talking about thousands of pills and seizures. And these are all things that we highlight on our social media platforms, and we try to get to all the local platforms as well of media. And it's not to create fear. It's just to bring a certain level of awareness. And the music associated with our press releases aren't to glorify anything, but I find if you want to hold somebody's attention and really bring a level of awareness, you have to be seductive to all the senses, and that includes the videos of seeing what's happening in real time in the community, but also maybe a little bit of music to catch the ear as well. If you can hold somebody's attention for longer than 30 seconds on social media, that's a win.
Yeah, there's definitely some major drug busts. Anything else, unique with the sheriff's office that stands out in your mind?
Gosh, you know what? I received a message this weekend that one of our dispatchers, Matthew Roberts, delivered a baby via EMD, which is our emergency medical dispatching. There was a family in South County, and they called in with a medical emergency, and it was a bit unorthodox. And Matthew Roberts walked them through all of the EMD protocols, successfully delivered a baby. Special shout out to, I believe, it was Medic 41 that was also attached to that, where they arrived shortly thereafter and were able to provide care. And it's my understanding that all parties involved are alive and doing very well due to the great people we have in this community, from Adventist Health to our medics to our dispatch. But the fact that we are working so hard and always advocating for our people to provide those types of services, that's what you can expect, is to call in and to get help. And I just Matthew Roberts, a great dispatcher. We're lucky to have him. His brother's currently in the academy right now, Robbie Roberts. You might recognize that name. Their dad served for many years with Sonora Police Department. So, I mean, a family of service and worthy of bringing up it just when you said other things happening in the department. What else? We had our Groveland CERT. They had a graduation. They just went through their 20-hour training. That's Community Emergency Response Team. There's a group of folks up in Groveland. There's also one in Twainhardt. I was scheduled to get up the hill yesterday and couldn't make it due to prior commitments, but nonetheless, I'm proud of them. So, Bob Asquith, if you're listening, I'm proud of you guys and your team, and Dory, who helped spearhead that as well. So, grateful for our whole community. There's a lot of fundraiser events happening right now. Again, it'd be remiss to not mention our search and rescue team and what a magnificent job that they do. They're currently back at their annual fundraiser selling calendars. So I'm sure we'll have some type of press release that's going out soon to have people tune in. What they do saves lives. The deputy sheriffs, if you see some of my deputies or your deputies walking around or doing calls for service, they might have a little more facial hair. I recently relaxed the grooming standards for a fundraiser through November, December, and they're growing beards to support their Shop with a Cop fundraiser that's coming up shortly. And then also Child Welfare Services Foster Youth Christmas Program. So I know that they help families that are find themselves in need. And so I think there's just a lot of stuff to be grateful for. And then all your regulars, the Children's Christmas Party will be involved in that, and the Shop with a Cop, all of those things. So it's that season for being thankful, grateful, and forgiving. And so we're excited to be marching into the holiday season for sure.
Going into the holiday season, we're going to have snow in the high country this time of year. Are there things that you'd like people to keep in mind who are going to be going to the higher elevations, possibly near the wilderness?
Yeah, take care of each other and be, that common courtesy goes a long way. You know, snow, if you're not used to driving in it, make sure you have your chains. Be relying heavily on our partners with Highway Patrol to make sure that, you know, people obviously have everything that they need. I know that that people see the snow and they want to jam up to Dodge Ridge, which I encourage them to do so, but just do so safely. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that Dodge Ridge is anticipating, hopefully, fingers crossed, being open by Thanksgiving, which is huge for them. And so that's a big deal. We're hoping for that weather. We just want people to be safe as they're doing it. And if they find themselves in trouble, they definitely know who to call. Search and Rescue is on and ready. We just got a donation from PG&E for a snow cat. So we've increased our capabilities there. A big thank you to Mark Banks and Lee Spokas and Ashley Bushikian and Sergeant Matt Stewart for all the work that they do with search and rescue. But be safe, take care of each other, come prepared. Please don't park and encroach on the roadways. We see people get hit. We see cars and traffic accidents. So park and play in designated areas and don't create those bottlenecks and roads that are already dangerous enough. And if you're parked in areas that you're not supposed to be, you can expect maximum enforcement on those things in order to increase that psychological deterrent to keep everybody accountable and safe during the winter season.
I appreciate the update on everything today. Any final comments as we have about a minute left here on this weekend show?
Gosh, you know, again, we start with gratitude and we end with gratitude. I just want to let the people know that through their continued outreach, their love and support, us remaining and creating sustainability for the resources that we're able to provide, it's a team effort. Nobody does this alone. And so everybody involved with coming together and providing services currently right now on the patrol side of the house, we are fully staffed. So the People's Sheriff's Office is fully staffed on patrol. That includes three that are currently in the academy. We expect them to be on patrol within the next 8 months once they pass training. For custody, we're working on filling our last four. And we have some vacancies in our support staff, but we're working on that. Animal control as well. We're so grateful to have animal control under the purview of the sheriff. They're a great team, very dedicated people, and we're working on a reorg with that too. And so again, it's a team effort, everybody involved. I've always called people out by name, and if I'm forgetting anybody, they have my apologies. But again, we're grateful for the whole team, most importantly, the community.
And you mentioned Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team. We're planning sometime in December to have some Search and Rescue Team members on Motherload Views as well to hear some of their stories and the work that they do. So we'll look forward to hearing from them in a couple weeks here.
I can't wait. And those people, they're very special. Volunteers, volunteering their time, energy, and often their money to do the good work of the people and keep everybody safe. Couldn't be more proud of them.
Sheriff Vasquez, thank you for coming in today.
I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. And a programming note, we will be off next week for Motherlode Views due to the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully you're going to be spending time with family and loved ones over that holiday period. We will be back the following weekend. That's going to be December 6th and 7th. We'll see you back then for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.